Good morning, church. It's clear? Yeah. It's my privilege to bring the message this morning. Let's open in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your wonderful day that we gather as a church, as a family. We lay down every cares right now, whatever things that bothers in our heart, in our mind right now. Lord, may your spirit speak to us and prepare our hearts to receive your word. And as I deliver your message, this is your word, not from me. Lord, we continue to acknowledge your presence in this place and be upon us. Lord, we lift these things to you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I was in Mongolia 2 weeks ago, and as we were traveling, going to the countryside, massive land, beautiful landscapes started to display, and I was in, wow, this is so beautiful. And I don't want to close my eyes. I'm inside the car. I'm just like, look at the mountains. Look at those horses, those camels all around. And I was amazed. And it was so attractive. You know, wild horses in the river, especially the traditional Mongolian house, or they call it yurt, which is are beautifully located everywhere. And I was just like, wow, beautiful creation. And speaking of beautiful, attractive, powerful. That's what the world is looking for. You need to be competitive. Always be at your best. And of course, we cannot say that being poor is better than being rich. Being lazy is better than being active, energetic, attentive. But let's try to balance these things from what the Bible says about weakness and strength. Because this morning, we are going to see the characteristics and learn from the church of Philadelphia. A very weak church with little strength, as it mentioned in verse 8, compared to the other churches with the most strength. Let us be careful and understand, because it could be misleading if we will just focus on the fact that God will only use weak people. Not at all. That's not true. Remember, David was a king. Abraham was rich. Moses was a mighty and powerful. Solomon was wise. Esther was beautiful. Samson was strong. And even Paul was a pretty smart guy. Technically, this church is a small church. Insignificant. Not attractive, little prestige, little strength, not perfect church, but we can see here this morning, they are faithful and committed church. But why does the Bible speak more on weakness rather than strength? This means spiritual weakness, a humility of mind, brokenness of heart, poverty of spirit. And Jesus is looking after this kind of spirit. Let's look at verse 7 to 10. Our first point this morning, Jesus holds the key. It will give us an idea that if someone has a key to open the door, he or she has the authority to do it. In this verse, Jesus is the authority. How? Look at your Bible. What he opens, no one can shut. And what he shuts, no one can open. That's a very clear statement that no one could stop Jesus. In other words, Jesus was telling the church of Philadelphia, I have placed an open door for you. You've found the true salvation. And because of that, they received the salvation. Jesus knew their deeds. You have kept my word and have not denied my name, even though they have a little strength. They are faithful in obeying God's word, willing to sacrifice what might it cost to them. And most of all, they did not deny the name of Jesus. Philadelphia Church is willing to take the risk because they know that they are on God's side. As a matter of fact, they were facing difficulties and persecution. Look at in verse 9. I will make those of the synagogue of Satan who claim to be Jews, though they are not, but are liars. I will make them come and fall down at your feet and acknowledge that I have loved you. Interesting to know here that the Jews were persecuting this church because they believed that salvation was only for the Jewish people. Yes, they were Jews. Genetically, they were Jews. Legally, they were Jews. Ceremonially, but spiritually, they are not. Romans chapter 11, verse 11, again I ask, did they stumble so as to fall beyond recovery? Not at all. Rather, because of their transgression, salvation has come to the Gentiles to make Israel envious. We all know the history of the nation of Israel. They were stiff-necked, hard-headed, so much pride as a Jewish. They will not associate with the Gentiles. They will treat them as dirty dogs. And these people thought that they were doing God's work, but they are not. It's easy for them to persecute these Gentile nations because they are not part of the 12 tribes of Israel. But they forget it in Acts chapter 1, verses 7 to 8. He said to them, Jesus said to this, it is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and this is very interesting, to the ends of the earth. God has already planned that the good news of salvation will not only be in Jerusalem, not only in Judea and Samaria, but to the ends of the earth. Jesus will reveal the justice to these evildoers, these liars. He will make them come and fall down at their feet. He has the authority. He has the power. And nothing is impossible. Jesus will show it to them that they are not really Jews. Instead, this church in Philadelphia is what he's talking about. Yes, they have little strength. Yet they endure patiently. They persevere. They keep God's commandment. And therefore, Jesus promised this. He will protect them and love them. Meaning, their faith has been tested and proven the moment they follow Jesus. Last May, I'm going to share this story. Last May, Emmeline and I, my wife Emmeline, went to Pakistan and visited three local churches in Lahore and one in Gujranwala, the western part. We all know that Pakistan is an Islamic state. One thing that is playing in my mind while we're flying, going to Lahore, is what does Christianity look like in Pakistan? First of all, Christians in Pakistan are discriminated. You cannot talk about your faith to other people. It is difficult to find a university that would accept Christian students. But because of these faithful Christians who prayed heartily, who prayed and prayed every day, they worshiped the living and true God, God answered their prayer. We visited a police station and met one of the officers that led the Minority Rights and Interfaith Harmony Unit Punjab Police. He gave me a copy of this agreement, that officer in uniform, he is a follower and believer of Jesus. I will show you the statement, this agreement. According to the first paragraph, as I quote, the Inspector General of Police Punjab, or IGP, Dr. Osman Anwar, has said that MISAK centers are being established for the protection of minorities, including Christian citizens, living in all the districts of the province. As I quote in paragraph 2, it is forbidden to damage, destroy, steal any object, the places of worship of the Christians, dot, dot, dot. And last one, the observance of this agreement is obligatory on every Muslim. End of quote. God is so good to the people of Pakistan. They've been discriminated for a long time, but they did not give up their faith. They're asking for God's mercy every day. It's hard for them to go out, or else someone will shoot them. Someone will kill them. But God's protection is upon God's people. God is in the business of working through the lives of His people who are faithful and obedient to Him so that others may see that there is salvation in Jesus. We hear a lot of stories from around the world who risk their lives for the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus holds the key, and He opened a door for our salvation. Let Jesus be your Lord and Savior. Allow Jesus to come to your heart and be the authority over your life, over our lives. In fact, Jesus did not promise that we're going to have a bed of roses when we follow Him. But troubles and persecution will always be there so that we will not rely on our strength, rather to depend and rely on His power. John chapter 15, verse 18, Jesus said, "If the world hates you, you know that it has hated me before it hated you." Remember that. Probably some of us experienced this kind of intense persecution before. Or maybe, not really, I'm fine, my life is okay. Or probably people will ignore you in your workplace. They're trying to avoid you because they knew that you are a Christian. It's not easy. My brother and sister, do not lose hope and don't be discouraged. I know it is not easy at all, but continue to shine your light. Do the things that pleases the Lord. And look at the Philadelphia church. They kept God's word and have not denied His name, even in the middle of pain and suffering. John chapter 16, verse 33, "I have said these things to you, that in me you may have a peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world." That's the promise of Jesus to His disciples. And it's the same promise that we have today. Life is difficult. We try to fit in because we need to survive daily, every day, but remember that we are a follower of Jesus Christ, not a follower of the trends of this world, but God has commanded us to do what pleases His name. We can see another promise to the church of Philadelphia, which is our second point. Jesus is coming soon. Jesus is coming soon. This is the hope that they are waiting for. For Jesus is coming soon. And that word soon has no specific time when He is coming. It could be tomorrow or later today. Even me, I do not know. Look at in Matthew 24, 36. "Concerning the day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, nor the Son, but the Father only." No one knows. But one day we are going to see Him face to face with a glorious and perfect body. But while we are waiting on that day, my brother and sister, it was the same message to the church of Philadelphia. Hold on to what you have so that no one will take your crown. Hold on what you have, meaning persevere. Keep going. Do not give up because you are going to wear the crown of salvation. "Not only that, I will make a pillar in the temple of my God, the one who is victorious." And I'm sure you have an image in your mind right now what a pillar looks like. It's huge, it's tall, and it's unshakable. Every time we see a ruined place or an old church, pillars are the ones left standing, but the rest are destroyed. Jesus described it as a victorious. The definition of victory in the world is completely opposite of what the Bible says. We have the Olympics. Those who participated in the Olympics and won will receive a gold or bronze or silver medal and stand in the front of many people and be proud. Yeah, I'm victorious. Achieving your goals in life, chasing your dreams, and being on the top of success. It's not bad. God give us the knowledge and wisdom. God give us the ability. But look at the Philadelphia church. They have a little strength, not popular, nothing to say, but they stand in the midst of all trials and persecution. The moment we follow Jesus, our faith will be tested if it's genuine or not, because this world has so many challenges. God will test our faith so that we will know where to put our trust and where we're going to put our hope. 1 Peter chapter 6 and 7, so be truly glad. There is wonderful joy ahead, even though you must endure many trials for a little while. These trials will show that your faith is genuine. It is being tested as fire tests and purifies gold. Though your faith is far more precious than mere gold, so when your faith remains strong through many trials, it will bring you much praise and glory and honor on the day when Jesus Christ is revealed to the world. Jesus is coming soon. Yes, He will come again. But the question is, while waiting for His coming, what are we doing at this very moment in the light of His Word? What are we doing while waiting for His coming? Some people are just so focused on His coming, trying to figure it out, the exact date and time. So many people called, I know where and when. They're called a prophecy. They prophesy the coming of Jesus. Yet they are just deceiving the people. And if we are not rooted to God's Word, if we do not study carefully His Word, we are in danger. The Bible tells us clearly that no one knows of His coming, even the angels. 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 1 to 2. Now, brothers and sisters, about times and dates, we do not need to write to you, for you know very well that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. You don't know where the thief, when the thief is coming to your house. That's why God did not reveal the specific time and day of His coming, so that those who are faithful and able to stand and never deny the name of Jesus will be called victorious. And one more interesting here that we can learn, He will also write on them His new name. It doesn't mean that God will change His name, but for sure that's the only name that we will be praised and worshiped forever and ever for eternity. There will be no other name that we will lift it up. I hope and pray that we worship the name above every other name. And His name is Jesus. A wonderful name that every time we speak His name, it changes our lives. There is power in His name that even the demons bow down and tremble. What are we doing while waiting for His coming? Again, hold on to what you have. In other words, you have Jesus. You have His Word. You have the Bible. Hold on to it and do it. Be faithful to the things that He entrusted to you. Again, last 2 weeks ago, as I've mentioned earlier, I went to Ulaanbaatar, Mongolia, to visit a friend who is in the ministry as well. A very young church, 7-year-old church, with 25 and 30 members, including children. And on the last night of my stay, the couple who is leading the ministry opened and shared their burden in the ministry. They felt no one loved them, nobody cares for them, and nobody supported them. No mission teams visited their church. And it's so rare for them to hear any words of encouragement from other Christians. and they start thinking of giving up and quitting in the ministry, knowing that life in Mongolia is difficult as well. And I told them, we are the same. Ministry is not easy. To be part of God's work is not easy. It's not new to my ears hearing about quitting and giving up in the ministry, especially serving in a very difficult situation. It's part of our journey, especially when our flesh starts to complain and starts to grumble because we are all impatient. We cannot wait. We want now. I want this, Lord. I want that, Lord. I want to be like this church, Lord. They have a beautiful music team, Lord. Why our church is not like this, Lord? But I told them, you are still doing God's work because you've tasted and seen that the Lord is good. Instead of complaining, count your blessing. Look at what God has done to you. Look at these five members of you who are faithful beside you. Disciple them. Multiplication of disciples. And God will multiply it. And the moment we encounter Jesus in our lives, God will slowly change our views in the light of eternity. That we do not hold on to the things in this world, but hold on to the promises of God. Hold on to His gospel, the message of hope and salvation for everyone. That continues to reach out through His faithful people who are willing to sacrifice out of their comfort zone and willing to take the risk. According to Nick Ripken, an author of The Insanity of God and also a film producer, especially at the end of the film, as I quote, the gospel continues to be authenticated by what people are willing to suffer for the cause of Jesus Christ. Willing to suffer. Willing to suffer for the cause of Jesus Christ. And I believe that even today, there are many people who are suffering for the cause of Jesus Christ. It is not easy at all, but for the cause of Jesus Christ, they move forward. Emily and I, Pauline, Ella, Carmen, and Eric, the Vietnam team, we'll fly to Ho Chi Minh, to Dalat City on Tuesday for our church mission trip. We are asking for your prayers as we engage in the local people, that the message of hope and salvation will encourage our fellow brothers and sisters in the Lord, that they will continue to persevere, that they will stand until Jesus comes again. And for all of us here this morning, either you are new, either you're visiting or been joining in the fellowship for a long time, my brothers and sisters in the Lord, Jesus holds the key, and He alone can save us. Do not waste the grace that He has given to us. Do not be discouraged. Life would be difficult, but I assure you, this is not my word, but Jesus is coming soon. I hope and pray that you and I, shut in church, as one body in Christ, let us continue to be faithful and committed by the grace and mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Thank you, God, for your word. Thank God for reminding us, especially in the Church of Philadelphia. We are not here to become famous and popular, but we are here. Help us, Lord, to be faithful to You, to be committed to Your Word. Help us, O God, to move forward and to see You more rather than of our selfishness, to see Your grace, to see Your mercy rather than on our needs. You promise, O God, that You hold the key, You have the salvation, and one day we're going to see You face to face. And while waiting for Your coming, we are here doing Your work, encouraging one another, blessing one another. And Father, we lay down our cares unto You. Lift up one another as we start this week Whatever challenges that we're facing in our faith today, help us, O God. Protect us, O God. You are an awesome and amazing God that we worship. You are in control. You are a sovereign God. We lift these things to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.